Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm just saying, we need something to work here in the studios. I'm working. You're working, right? Right, Ryan Tracicki?
I'm working.
We're always coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. We need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life. Rocket can. The clocks aren't working here. And now I'm making this a friendly competition with our boss and just a friendly banter back and forth. Because last night, we did go a little bit long in the segment. I think we took it to about 37, and we're supposed to break at the absolute latest by 35. So now I'm going on a Joe DiMaggio hit streak quest. I'm trying to get 56 straight segments where we break on time. And what we mean by that, it's not really the first segment or the last segment, because the last segment, it cuts us off even if I keep on yapping or not with the hard out. But that middle break, I've been trying to break by 33 or 35, the absolute latest, because that's what I was told was the cutoff in management's mind. Now, I could take it to 40 if I wanted to, and they could be mad at me, but I'm just trying to get it right at 35. And in the final segment of yesterday, we got it in the final hour. And today so far, we're 3 for 3. And last night when we were going a little bit longer, boss David Mayernick, the great David Mayernick, sent me a little gif. And also you, Ryan Tracicki. You know, because I don't love that this is being all put on me. Because what does all great talk show hosts do? I'll defend my producer, but when you try to blame me, well, maybe you should throw this one on the producer if it's coming from management. See, I'm learning something throughout all these years. But right now, I'm sitting in the studios, and if I don't break on time, well, I don't even know if I'm going to break on time. I don't know if I'm going to be late, because I'm looking at two clocks right now. One is set dead zero. That's the break time clock. The other tells me what the actual time is. According to this clock right now, the actual time is just zero. There's no minutes. There's no hours. There's just seconds, and it says 0 seconds. So we got to get this thing working here. If they want me to break on time, and also if they want this hit streak to continue, which we're 4 for 4, and I bet you will be 5 for 5 by the end of the show, we got to make sure the clocks are working. Right now, you know what I'm like? Right now, I'm like Deshaun Watson. And no, I'm not calling my bosses Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, and I'm not saying Ryan Tracicki is David Johnson. But I'm being asked to complete a task without having the essentials right in front of me, and that's a clock. Because if I'm going to break on time, Trace, right, in theory, I need to know what the actual time is. And right now I'm being told, hey, go throw 40 touchdown passes and win 10 games, but I don't have the receivers and I don't have the running backs. And by the way, since I bring up Deshaun Watson, I'm going to just repeat this. And we all know Deshaun Watson had a great season. But there's always a select few idiots. Whenever we talk about Deshaun Watson, they'll go, oh, how could you say he's a great quarterback, Zach? How can you say he's a great quarterback when he only won 4 games this year? Which I just love how we only look in the now and in the present terms, where we just ignore the previous 2 seasons when he was in the playoffs. But anywho, today CBS Sports HQ, our friends at CBS Sports HQ, they put out this tweet. And I kind of feel as if they were tweeting this to me. T to give me the venom where I could just expose that venom and throw that venom on any Deshaun Watson hater, anyone that says, oh, well, Deshaun Watson can't be a great quarterback because he only won four games last year. Like how stupid people sound when they say that. CBS Sports HQ, they should have just tagged me in this. I'm kind of disappointed they didn't tag me in this. Despite being the second most sacked QB in the NFL, Deshaun Watson still put up some of the best numbers in the league. Now, Trace, you would agree with me. We all knew Deshaun Watson, and I'll give you the stats in just a second. We all knew Deshaun Watson had a great year last year, correct, Amundo?
Anyone with a brain knew that. How about that, Zach?
Wow. That's coming from you, Mr. Nice
Anyone
Guy.
Anyone with a brain. Yes, sir. That is true.
So you would say anyone that says Deshaun Watson's not a great quarterback, they would be on the Trace disgrace list is what you're telling me.
Oh, top of the list. Okay. Biggest disgrace.
So completion percentage. Deshaun Watson completed 70.2% of his passes last year, third in the NFL. In front of an offensive line that got him sacked the second most times in the league. Passing yards. He led the league in passing with 4,823. Touchdown interception ratio, 33 touchdowns to 7 picks. That was tied for third in the league. Passer rating, 112.4. That was second. He was sacked 49 times, the second most in the NFL. But no, I do sometimes local radio in New York, and I'm surprised because I do think the New York sports fan is very intelligent. And I think when I'm in New York doing sports talk radio, it's a no-brainer to me. Oh, trade 3-4 first-round picks for Deshaun Watson. You got to do it. I have actually received a decent amount of pushback from some fans saying, nope, you can't give up 3 or 4 first-round picks for Deshaun Watson. And what is the number one reason all the time? Well, he only won 4 games. Okay. Keep trying to make Sam Darnold and hoping that Sam Darnold's going to be this great quarterback. You know my follow-up is? Even if you're the biggest Sam Darnold fan and advocate in the world, I saw our guy Dan Orlovsky, who I like. He was defending Sam Darnold. And it's all right to defend Sam Darnold. There are things you could defend Sam Darnold about. Adam Gase is a train wreck. I know he's no longer the coach, but he was the coach the last 2 years. They had basically no offensive line. The receivers weren't any good. And there was no resemblance of a run game. So what quarterback do you put in that spot that's going to succeed? However, look at the spot Deshaun Watson was in this year. He still carried his own weight. And if you go, well, Zach, you're comparing to him to someone that's a little bit more seasoned and someone that has been a great quarterback in this league for a while, that's not fair. That's a bit harsh. All right. How about Joey Burrow? Joe Burrow, before tearing his ACL, he threw more touchdown passes than what Sam Darnold did this past year. He had 16 touchdowns, I think 5 picks, and Sam Darnold had only 9 touchdown passes this year and more interceptions than touchdown passes. Joe Burrow, Trace, let me just throw a question out there to you. If I were to tell you that in the second game of an NFL player's career, in front of an offensive line that stinks, which was the quality of play of that offensive line in Cincinnati, that in the second game of a career, and it was a short week too, it was a Thursday night up against the Brownies. So 10 days into your regular season career, your team is going to put you in a spot where you throw 61 and you threw 61 passes. How many interceptions do you think would you set the line at of Joe Burrow interceptions that night?
Probably 2.5, right? With the amount of attempts
it's a very fair number. And you'd probably take the over. I'm telling you, a quarterback 10 days into his regular season career was throwing it 61 times on a bad football team. You'd probably take the over.
I would, yes.
Well, Joe Burrow threw 0 interceptions and 3 touchdowns. And I'm not saying that the Jets have more talented wide receivers than the Bengals, because they don't. And A.J. Green is a shell of himself. I don't even know if AJ was in that game, but I think he was. But I don't think he did much in that game. You got T. Higgins, who was also into his second ever regular season game in the NFL. Auden Tate is an underrated wide receiver. Like, so you got some names there. But you still have a garbage offensive line. And look what one Joe Burrow was able to do. So for all the Sam Darnold supporters, and I like Sam coming out of college, but in New York, even with all the circumstances working against him, what's his moment? And it's been 3 years now. So even if you go, oh, well, he's not put in a position to succeed. Well, let me ask you this. What makes you think, because he has a fifth-year option that's due this offseason, you're not going to pick that up. And even if you do, what is going to be accomplished in these next 2 years? And if conventional wisdom says he's not going to get that fifth-year option picked up, then you have one more year of him. And in that one more year, he has to show you enough for you to give him a long-term extension at a bare minimum franchise tag? The odds of you giving him a franchise tag or a long-term extension are slim to none at this point. And the reason I'm talking about this, and I'll get to Big Ben in just a second, but there's going to be a market. There is going to be a market for someone like Sam Darnold because there's going to be a team that says, I could fix him and he's 23. So if you're the Jets and you're picking second overall, why wouldn't you trade him? If you get Watson, great. If you don't, take your next quarterback, get him on his rookie deal. And there's no emotional attachment for Joe Douglas. There's no emotional attachment for Robert Saleh to Sam Darnold. So there's a market right now. I think you get a second-round pick back for Sam Darnold. If you wait a year just to wait a year and you pass up on a quarterback, you don't know where you're going to be picking in the draft next year. And then I don't even know what compensatory pick you're going to get for Sam Darnold. So the writing is on the wall that Sam Darnold's days in New York are over. I think he's taking his final snap for the JETS Jets. But let me just get one more point in on Deshaun Watson before Big Ben Roethlisberger. Are the Texans actually doing the smart thing right now by waiting? Now, I do agree that if you're going to trade him, you have to trade him before the draft because you need to know where at least that first-round pick for this year is going to fall and not run the risk of getting three first-round picks and not knowing where any of them are going to fall. But the Texans don't need to trade Deshaun Watson this month or next month. If they're going to trade him, they just need to trade him by April 29th, that Thursday night, first round of the draft. Because the value is not going to go down from now until then. But we see some reports out there. You have to give up three first-round picks if you want Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has a dead cap of nearly $60 million this year. I don't think Russell Wilson's getting traded. But on the slim chance, and I basically put it at 0.00000001% chance Russell Wilson gets traded, it's going to drive your price up because Russell Wilson's 32. Deshaun Watson's 25. So if Russell Wilson goes for three first-round picks, you're going to get either three first-round picks and then some, or maybe even four first-round picks for Deshaun Watson. However, maybe the Jets pull the trigger, Sam Darnold to Chicago, and they make that trade. Well, that eliminates a team and the Deshaun Watson services and the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, but now you have fewer teams and one less quarterback available for the backup plan. Because maybe some team goes, if I can't get Watson, I'll bring in Darnold as a backup plan. And now maybe the bidding war will even intensify between those other teams. Now, the only thing that could kind of mess up that plan is if Watson doesn't want to go to some of those teams that are still available. And the Texans are going to do everything in their power to try to keep Deshaun Watson. But if they don't know for sure that they could fix that relationship by the draft, and I don't see that changing, then I think you got to trade him. And it stinks to trade him, but he doesn't want to be there. And if your quarterback doesn't want to be there, I would get something back, especially when your team is nowhere close to winning. I'm trying to think, and maybe we'll do this at some point from now until the draft. And I guess we should probably do it soon because we never know when this trade's going to go down. We never talk about the Texans actually keeping Deshaun Watson because we already assume that they're not going to be able to. So, if you look at the options, you trade him before the draft. You wait until after the draft. And if you want to hang on to him, will he hold out into the season? But what would be the pitch? If you're Nick Caserio, if you're Dave Culley, what is the pitch to keep Deshaun Watson? What do you say to Deshaun Watson? Because what happened in the past is not your fault. That's on Easterby. That's on McNair. And you can't just bring the big boombox and go, Watson, come back. You got to be better than just having an adequate singing voice. I'm going to give that some thought. Because I don't want to just throw something out there to the audience without giving it some serious thought. I'm going to try to come up with a pitch. And this is going to be maybe the most difficult thing I've ever done on the radio. Because I don't see how this relationship gets repaired. But I really want to know what the pitch would be. Now, we have not done the Texans on the QB carousel. That's a question when we get to the Texans of the QB carousel. Whatever Texans guests we bring on, I want to know. And I wonder how they're approaching it on one of our affiliates, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And they do a great job there. You got Pendergast and Payne. And then we got our guys, Ron the Show, Ugly, and also Clint Sterner. And I think Clint is getting married. I saw something like that. So Clint's getting married. Mazel tov. Congratulations to him. But I would like to know if they are, and they have the best understanding of this entire situation, or even a guy like John McClain, what's your pitch to keep Deshaun Watson in Houston when the guy that just signed the extension in September now wants no part of your organization? 9:15 on the Zach Gelb Show. How do I know that time? It's not because the studio clocks are working. It's because I have backup. I got my iPhone. I also got my computer to my right, but I just realized something. You know I'm going to need help here, Trace? I think I'm good at managing from the first break to the second break. It's the final break of the show. Because I don't have a second timer or portion on my computer or on my cell phone. So when that back time, is that what it's called? Back bed or back time or is it back bed? What is it?
Back time.
All right. When that back time is going and I start to hear the music, what happens with 45 seconds left in the show?
30 seconds.
30 seconds.
30 second countdown.
I don't want to guesstimate. And I think I have a good internal play clock in my cabeza, but I may need some assistance there because our clocks are not working at CBS Sports Radio.
That's what I'm here for, to assist.
And if I don't hit the post, I'm going to blame it on you. That's the way that we're going to rock and roll. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. If you're just tuning in, I assume that you know about the Tiger Woods situation. He was involved in a single-person car crash today. He crashed his own car. He was driving back for the second day of this photo shoot, and I guess he was going to meet Drew Brees and Justin Herbert, a part of the promotions of this tournament. He was there over the weekend, did the interview with Jim Nance. It was a very serious car crash. He's lucky he's still alive. He was wearing a seatbelt, and the interior of the car, from what LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva said, kept him alive. We found word, we told you this earlier, from the LA Times. Here are the injuries that Tiger Woods allegedly sustained. It included a shattered ankle and two leg fractures, one of which was a compound fracture, according to sources familiar with his treatment. That's from the LA Times. So, well wishes, our prayers to Tiger Woods and his family as he gets through this recovery. But as he did tell Jim Nance on Sunday, and we knew that he had back surgery in January, he was still waiting for an MRI to see if he could take the next step in the rehab process and getting more done on the golf course. Because up until what we were told on Sunday, he was pretty much all he was doing was putting, and that was about it. So clearly something very serious. The golf aspect is not the immediate thing that you think about, but because of his stature and his status in the sport, it is something that will eventually be talked about, and we've even talked about it today. But the first and foremost, the most important is that Tiger ends up being okay, and it looks like he's going to be able to be okay, no life-threatening injuries, and we'll see what this means for his golf future. But this could have been a whole lot worse, and thankfully it was not. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we got to talk about Big Ben. It looks like there's going to be a reunion for another year. Big Ben in Pittsburgh, they still got to iron out the contract details. Should Big Ben even want to return? We get into that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Trace, I need help one more time. Aditi
Kinkabwala.
That's the name that you just go. Aditi Kinkabwala, right?
Or, as she's known on the show, Aditi.
Yeah, right. If I'm trying to see if there's a name that I'm not familiar with, and I know of Aditi's work, she does a great job, I just can't say her last name. But if I am a broadcaster and I have no clue how to say a name, you just try to say it as quick as possible and as incoherent, I guess, would be the right word of, I don't know if that's the right word of a way to say it. Just be like, Aditi Kinkabwala. That's how I would try to get through it. You know, we were talking about this Aditi Kinkabwala report. That, right? You wouldn't have think twice about
maybe
that.
Maybe like throw like a fake cough in there. So it's like, miss half it. Aditi Kinkabwala. Yeah. So like
Aditi, Kinkabwala. Right?
Crushed it. No one would know.
Like if I didn't know how to say Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Or thankfully he has a nickname. Maybe that's why the Greek freak was born. People are like, can't say this.
Or for Tua Tagovailoa, you know, the insiders, okay? People that know him well, they call him Tua T, okay? So anyway, Aditi, she posted today that she talked to Big Ben's agent, Ryan Tolner, and this was the quote, "They want Big Ben back and will contact me soon to address his cap situation. As we shared since the season ended, we are happy to creatively adjust his contract to help them build the best team possible." Here's my question. If you're Big Ben, why go back to Pittsburgh? And I know what your immediate response would be. Well, it's the best option available, right? Because if Big Ben became a free agent, you're going to Washington. All right, yeah, you got a better chance to win the NFC East than you do the AFC North for this upcoming season, even with just winning the AFC North this past year. If it's not Washington's football team, which, by the way, they're going to remain the Washington football team for one more year, and then they're going to be a new name, not this upcoming season, but the season after that. So that would be the 2022 football season. I don't know about you. Why don't you just keep Washington football team? I kind of like Washington's football team. You don't.
I hate it. I was so mad this year when they just named that. It's.
Well, they had to. Okay with the name change.
Well, yeah. I mean, like you couldn't be creative. Like the lack of creativity got me very frustrated.
The fact that they knew they were eventually going to have to change the name and all they had
NFL
was Washington's
franchise
football team
to call themselves the football team.
It
for
shows
two
you
years.
How dead set Daniel Snyder was against changing the name when they didn't even have a short list of options to change the team to. I like Washington's football team, and hey, they made the playoffs the one year as Washington's football team. I'd keep it. But I'm not running that team, and maybe from a marketing standpoint, it's not the best thing in the world. But if Big Ben became a free agent, it appears that he's not going to be, and he's going to be back with Pittsburgh. Where else? Washington? Chicago? You want to go to Chicago and play in front of no offensive line, and I don't even know if Allen Robinson's going to be back. Where's the other landing spot? Would San Francisco move on from Jimmy G to bring in Big Ben? If you're thinking, all right, Jimmy G's contract is up, not that far down the road. I think he's got 2 years left on that deal. Would you maybe go 2 years of Big Ben compared to Jimmy G? But if that was the case, I don't think that's what they would do. Because right then they would have just got rid of Jimmy G when they could have got Tom Brady last year. So other than Washington and Chicago, where would you go? New England? What do they have? They got nothing right now on the offensive side of the ball. So is there any other landing spots? I don't think Carolina. Maybe Carolina would bring him in, but you're not winning in Carolina with a year left because Carolina made a play for Matthew Stafford. There's not another spot where you go, all right, that's where Big Ben is a fit, where you'd have a chance to win. It's really just Washington and the apex. The apex is what? Winning the division? Maybe a playoff game? So if Ben wants to come back, he has to go back to Pittsburgh, and clearly he does want to come back. But if you're Ben, what's the apex in Pittsburgh? We had Charlie Batch on, who is pro Big Ben, pro Steelers. I said, is it safe to say they're the third best team in the division? He said, yeah, third best. And some are going to argue that with the way that Burrow could take a next step, maybe they're going to be in last place. So if I'm Ben, Yes, this is probably the last year of your career. You play a sport your entire life. It's nearly impossible to have the perfect ending of when the sport ends. But why go through the pain? Why go through the hits if you don't have a legitimate shot to win a Super Bowl? Because we talk about the salary cap situation of the Steelers. They got a dynamite, explosive, just dominant defense. But offensively, you were 32nd in rushing the football last year. Jerome Bettis isn't walking through that door anytime soon. Heck, Rashad Mendenhall, even though he fumbled in that Super Bowl, and I am not a big Rashad Mendenhall fan, what he said about 9/11, he's not walking through that door anytime soon. Le'Veon Bell isn't walking through that door anytime soon. So, you got no run game. James Conner probably going to go elsewhere in free agency. You're banking, if you're Big Ben, on the team to be able to draft a first-year running back stud. That's what you're banking. Plus, Pouncey is now retiring, so your offensive line takes a hit. And you got Zach Banner coming off an injury, and we'll see if he even returns to the team. So you're going back to do what? Just play another season? Qualify for the playoffs? Because it's not even a lock that the Steelers are going to make the playoffs. So you got four division winners, assuming that the Steelers don't win the division. Bills, let's go. Let's just say the Ravens or the Browns. Let's just go for fun's sake, Browns. South, let's go Tennessee. And the West, I went Tennessee just because I don't want to see Trace happy. And the West, the Chiefs. So off of that, Miami, they'll be a playoff contending team. You get to the North, the Ravens, playoff contending team. In the South, if the Titans are division winner, the Colts are a playoff contending team. And then in the West, can one of those teams get their damn act together? And I guess I would trust Denver and the Chargers a little bit more than the Raiders. So can the Steelers make the playoffs? Yeah. As a wild card team. And we just saw a wild card team win a Super Bowl. But they're not going to have much of a run game next year. They had the worst run game in the league last year. One team in the league last year. So even if you improve, how much of an improvement is it? You can't get worse. And Ben can't be throwing the football 45 times a game. So if I'm Ben, I know you still want to play and you still think you could play at a good level. But if you don't have a better alternative and you can't win a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh anymore because your window's over, what's the point of coming back? Just because you love the game? I guess that would be the answer. And also, is it the money? I can't imagine it. You never know. People just don't start hating money. And there is a lot of money that's owed his way. If I'm Ben, I'd walk. I really would. I'd walk, I'd retire. I've won two Super Bowls. I'm a Hall of Famer. But then yet again, I didn't play the sport my entire life. And once you do walk away, sure, you could be like Brett Favre and have that comeback or two comebacks. You could be like Gronk, but most of the time, at that age, when you're walking away, that's it. That chapter's closed for your football career. So that's the only reason why I think Ben's coming back is just because he loves the game so much. But he's not going to win a Super Bowl with Pittsburgh this year. They may not even make the playoffs. And if you can't go somewhere else, what's the purpose? Just for the love of the game? I guess that's what it is.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Maybe one of the more ridiculous stories that I've ever read. And this one, it has me really heated. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to the closing bell in just a second. So Artemi Panarin is one of the best hockey players in the NHL. And he happens to play for my New York Rangers. So he has taken a leave of absence. And I don't fault him for doing so. But the situation he's in, it's absolutely ridiculous. And it actually makes you appreciate the country that we live in, even though there are problems in our country. We don't like someone in political office. We could speak out against that person. So Artemi Panarin voiced his displeasure for Putin. Totally fair. Logical, right? Well, I guess people weren't happy about that. And the next thing you know, his former coach in the KHL, former NHL player, Andrei Nazarov all these years later? Because, right, if this was really on your mind and you weren't the victim here, you were just the coach of his, why would you wait until 2021, 10 years later, to come clean about this? Andrei Nazarov is claiming that Artemi Panarin beat up at the time an 18-year-old woman in Latvia in 2011. Now, all of Panarin's or some of Panarin's teammates have said, yeah, this isn't true. And there have been reporters that have totally dismissed the claims by Andrei Nazarov. This is what you call a political hit job. It is 1,000% a political hit job. And I don't know how much family that Panarin has in Russia. I don't. But they got to be fearing for their lives. Because Panarin spoke out against Putin. And I guess Andrei Nazarov is a Putin lackey, is the proper term that I'll give him. I looked at some of Nazarov's highlights today. A lot of fights. When he was a coach, actually. You know, real classy guy this Nazarov is. He tried to beat up a fan with the hockey stick. I guess some of the fans were heckling behind the glass and he started taking a stick and trying to hit the fans. So everyone says this guy's crazy. And Panarin, I saw one of his teammates said, and I think it was in the Post, because at that time, Panarin was a nobody. And Panarin is a small guy, the bread man. One of his teammates said, even if he wanted to do the act, I don't think he would have been able to. And he said, like, the girl probably would have been able to beat him up. I think that was the quote that I read earlier today. Now, you're a Ranger fan, Trace. This stinks because this guy is now getting taken away from the Rangers. He's a heck of a player. He was a Hart finalist last year. MVP finals for people that don't cover hockey, don't know what the Hart trophy is. It just stinks that now we can't see him play, but I can't fault him for taking a leave of absence. Yeah, part of you wants to stand up to the bully and goes, you're not going to win, but he's probably trying to, and I don't know if he could do this, figure a way to get whatever family he has out of there. This is one of the more wild stories. When I first read it, I said, oh, this is like an Onion article. But then I guess it's because I'm a little bit naive because I don't live there. I don't live under the reign of Putin. So it's tough for us to even imagine, but we know these things go on where you can't have your political freedoms and you can't speak out against people.
I was with you when this first came out. I was like, this is like, obviously hope it's not true, but unfortunately with, you know, how stuff comes out, it's like,
and how often that we do see cases of violence against women, right, unfortunately, in sports. But, and hey, something could happen 10 years ago and then come out to the scenes, mm-hmm, as we all know. But for this to be Nazarov saying it, the right coach, and no one else verifying it, and you also have, oh, it just so happens to come out 10 years later because the guy spoke out against Putin earlier in the year.
And how often do you see a team right away? The New York Rangers themselves put out a statement calling this story fabricated. Usually, like, in these circumstances, no team would ever say
would
that they said we're going
defend
to do our investigation.
Yep.
We're going to look into it. He's away from the
right. They would give themselves an out.
Exactly.
And
to take his side right away is when you know.
And let's give credit to James Dolan, someone that I don't like, but I'll give him credit here. He knows that this is BS. Because the Rangers could have said, we can't touch this story, sorry, even though we have sympathy with you, just because of the 1% case that it is true or chance that it's true, we'll look like terrible people here if we're defending you. But they know that it's complete hogwash. They know with 100% certainty that this is a BS story. And they defend him. How many times do organizations say nothing? And this time, they go out on the attack to go defend Artemi Panarin. I wonder when he comes back. I really do. Because I don't think there's an answer to it right now. We're talking about your family that could be at jeopardy here. So, hey, honestly, I hope everything turns out to be okay for Panarin, but it stinks. And I don't want to say that he'll miss the rest of the entire season, but at this case, nothing would surprise me here. So one of the best players in the NHL is getting taken off the ice because he was speaking his mind in the right way. And his whack job former coach, Andrei Nazarov, I like to hit him over the head with the hockey stick these days. Now he's trying to take down his player because he's a Putin lackey. All right, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
How many Russian bots are going to come my way on Twitter, by the way?
Yeah, we better be on the lookout now. Yeah. Hopefully CBS Sports Radio isn't under attack next.
I'm just saying, maybe Putin saw my rundown, knew we were going to talk Panarin, and that's why the clocks aren't working in the studio. Do we have something there?
Maybe. Russian interference, huh?
If my microphone just cuts out.
Some spooky stuff. That's, yeah.
Yep. I guess I got to be careful when I'm walking home tonight. Do I take an Uber tonight? I'll walk home. I'll get the steps.
Do they have
in.
The KGP here lying around you? Check over your back as you're walking.
Zach Gelb fears no man. That's not true. I fear a lot of people. All righty. Devin Booker got screwed out of the All-Star game, but I wanted to give him a stock up because last night up against Portland, he was 12 of 17 from the field, had 34 points, should have been an All-Star. One of the more enjoyable players to watch in the association. Should have made the All-Star team. Stock up, Devin Booker. It has been a brutal season for the Washington Wizards. And I loved when they got Russell Westbrook. People are saying, oh, Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, that could be a team that maybe makes the playoffs. Because they were the eighth seed last year, and even with Davis Bertans sitting out. I never thought that the Wizards were going to really do much this year. Well, the Wizards haven't really done much, but with that being said, they did beat the Lakers last night in overtime, and Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook had a great game. Russ, 32 points, 14 rebounds, and 9 assists, and Bradley Beal, who I know he's starting the All-Star game, so this may not make sense. I don't think he gets enough credit. Because most guys that try to run away from this terrible situation, which is fine if you want to do that. Like, you have that right. It happens all the time. It'd be easier for him to do that. He says he still wants to stay with the Wizards. So I've always liked Beal. Beal and Westbrook, give him a stock up for the performance last night. All righty. How about the Utah Jazz? Last night, they had a franchise record 28 made three pointers up against the Charlotte Hornets. So I want to just look at the bench. The bench, 7 threes, another 7, 5. Those three bench players, that's 20 threes, right? 19 threes, right? 7 plus 7 plus 5 is 19. I'm telling you, I'm not good at math here. Those three players that had all those threes, 19 threes off the bench, and they had 28 total as a team. Ingles had 7 three-pointers. George Niang had 7, and Jordan Clarkson had 5. Ingles 21, Yang 21, and then Clarkson 20, just off the bench. And then O'Neal with 2, and Conley with 4, Donovan Mitchell with 3. So all those threes, 28, was between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players. Stock up to the 25-6 Utah Jazz. All righty. Stock down to Los Angeles Lakers. And what I mean by that is stock down to the people now that are saying LeBron James needs rest. Because they're 1-4 right now in their last 5 games with Anthony Davis being out, or 1-3, I should say, with Anthony Davis being out in the last 4 games. Now, all of a sudden, because they lose a game to a bad basketball team, oh, LeBron needs to rest more. But when Paul George gets the rest, which he shouldn't have because he already played 33 minutes, it's, oh, he needs to play more. There's no consistency there. I'm fine with the way that LeBron James is playing. You should be as well. Let's not overthink this one. So stock down to the LeBron James needs load management crowd. There's been some reports that the Mavericks are sniffing around and would be interested maybe engaging the market on what a return would be for Kristaps Porzingis. The Mavericks are playing the Celtics right now. They have a lead with about 4 minutes to go. We'll see if they hold on. But right now they are a below .500 basketball team. Now, Mark Cuban categorically denied these trade rumors, but Ian Begley, who covers the Knicks for SNY, said they did talk to the Warriors about this, and there's been some other reports as well. Kristaps Porzingis could be on the way out. Maybe Cuban's annoyed that these rumors are getting leaked because they're factual, and I don't know if that's going to affect the market. I don't think it would. But anywho, we give a stock down to the Mavericks for their poor play this season. They've been disappointing. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to our guest this evening. Did a little QB carousel talk with Charlie Batch and also David Archer. And a big thanks to a Super Bowl champion, a two-time Super Bowl champion, the quarterback coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Clyde Christensen. Joining us tomorrow, Quinnen Williams from the JETS Jets. He's been in the Deshaun Watson trade rumors. We'll talk to him about that. Also talk to him about if he's on the team and they get Deshaun Watson, what would that mean? Big thanks to all the callers, all the listeners, all the tweeters, and also my producer, Ryan Tracy. Zach Gelb, show we out. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.